You are listening to the Walking Leader podcast with your host, David Guerra.
This is the Walking Leader podcast, and I am your host, David Guerra, United States Army infantry veteran and the author of the books, The Walking Leader and Great to Follow. In this episode of the Walking Leader podcast, I continue to bring you the tools, the tips, and insights towards developing and setting yourself up as a successful self-leader long before moving on towards leading others.
Hey there, welcome back to the Walking Leader podcast. In this episode, we continue with our new series, Level Up Your Self-Leadership. We will explore the mindset, habits, and tools that help you lead yourself with confidence, clarity, and purpose. Folks, I am your host, David Guerra, and this episode is all about something that sits at the very core of personal growth. But more often than not, it gets overlooked, and we're talking about self-awareness. And it's not just a buzzword, it's actually your superpower. So grab your journal, you're going to need it, a pen, your coffee, and or just some quiet time. But we're going to go inward today, so let's get started. So let's be real. If you have ever asked yourself, why do I keep doing that? Or why can't I break this habit? You have bumped into a self-awareness gap. Now, self-awareness is more than just knowing your favorite color or your personality type. It's about understanding your emotions, your triggers, your core values, and the stories you tell yourself every day. Not the stories you publicly prepare for others to see or understand or to see or to seek out and find out about you. No, that's your public face. And not the private face, but we're talking about your personal face, the face you see in the mirror. Yeah. In short, you cannot lead what you do not understand. And that includes you. So if you're not understanding yourself, your emotions, your triggers, your core values, and what you tell yourself every day, then you cannot begin to lead. You have to understand yourself. So highly self-aware people make better decisions. They manage stress more effectively and build healthier relationships. This is what we're all about here. This is what we're doing here in this new series. And again, let's throw away some myths real quick. Making better decisions. It's not a switch you can flip on and off. No, it's not. It's going to take time to make better decisions. You have to make mistakes, but you also have to learn how to make better mistakes. And in making better mistakes, you make better decisions. Manage stress more effectively. No, you have to. You have to be stressed to know how to manage it. If you've never been stressed, you've lived a sheltered life, then do you really know how to manage stress? No, you don't, because the moment stress hits you, that's it. Right. So again, avoid that. You need to have to avoid that, hitting the brick wall and losing it. You have to learn how to manage stress effectively. And again, that comes with time. Building healthier relationships. Healthier. The word here is healthier, not relationships. You're going to have all kinds of relationships in your life, but healthier is better. It's better for you. Better for you. So there's going to be some decisions you're going to have to make, you're going to have to stick with, and you're going to have to live with. And once you make them, there's no backing down. There's no turning back, because you're building healthier relationships for you. Let's continue. Now, according to researchers, there are two types of self-awareness. There's the internal self-awareness. How clearly you understand your values, passions, strengths, and emotions. How clearly you understand your values, your passions, your strengths, and your emotions. You need to understand them. You need to know them. And folks, going online and taking an online quiz is not how you find out what your passions are or what your strengths are or what your emotions are. No. It's you have to live. You have to listen to yourself. You have to listen to your body. You have to listen to your mind. And most of all, you have to listen to your soul. Remember, nothing is just handed to you. You have to work for all of that. That's the internal self-awareness, and it's difficult. Then there's external self-awareness, knowing how others see you. This helps you lead with empathy, not ego. Empathy, not ego. Again, it's not handed to you. It is not handed to you. Leadership is not handed to you. You have to earn it. That's a title that those that follow you will give you. And if they don't give it to you, then you've never earned it. You can call yourself a leader, but guess what? No, I do not call myself a leader. I never will call myself a leader. Others have. Others have, and that's fine. That's good. That's good. But personally, I will never call myself a leader. And for anyone out there that you call yourself a leader, really? Do you know how others see you? Again, are you leading with empathy or are you leading with ego? Because with ego, because you have the title, because you have that diploma, because you have that certificate, because you have those letters at the end of your name, or because you have a position within the organization or within the professional organization or the family organization. It's not automatic. You have to work at it. So again, know how others see you and stay away from the yes men. Stay away from the people that say, oh, yes. Oh, no, you're great. Yes, Caesar. Caesar's great. Caesar is good. Stay away from those people. Those are not the ones that, well, they know how they see you, but they're never going to tell you the truth. See, most people are better at one or the other. They're better at internal self-awareness or external self-awareness. But to be a well-rounded self-leader, you have to go and develop both of those, internal self-awareness and external self-awareness. And I'm here to tell you, I'm neither. I am not developed in internal self-awareness or external self-awareness. I'm not proficient in both. But what I am is I am learning and I am growing. And I will. It's a lifelong thing. There's no end point. Oh, well, you know, you're very well-rounded because you exude internal self-awareness and you exude external self-awareness. No, it's a lifelong journey. It's a lifelong journey. So get that in the back of your mind. And again, I'm just one person telling you this, but stop and think about it. It's a lifelong journey. You've got to constantly be growing. So let's talk about some of the tools, because self-awareness is not just philosophical, it's also practical. And here are some you can use starting today. So this is where your journal comes in. Get ready. So the first one, and if I'm mispronouncing it, somebody tell me. But it's the Johari window, J-O-H-A-R-I, window, like fenster, window. All right. It helps reveal what you know, what others know, and most importantly, what is hidden from both. See, and this is coming from an online definition, this following part. The Johari window is a model used to improve self-awareness and communication by exploring the different aspects of a person's personality and how others perceive them. It is a tool that helps individuals understand what they know about themselves, what others know about them, what they know but choose not to reveal, and what is unknown to both. So there are four quadrants in this Johari window. Right? It's like a window with four little panes in it, right? You may have seen the four quadrants. You know, what's important and urgent, what is important but not urgent, what's not important but urgent, and what is not urgent and what's not important, the four quadrants. So the first quadrant, the open area, this quadrant represents traits and information that are known to both yourself and others. It is the area where you are comfortable sharing and where others also have a clear understanding of your behaviors and characteristics. So it's your public-facing side. The blind spot, that's the other quadrant. This area contains information that others know about you, but you are unaware of. These might be behaviors or traits that are obvious to others, but that you do not recognize yourself, that you do not recognize yourself. These are your tells. Let's just say you're playing poker and you've ever heard the term, oh, they've got a poker face. No, I'm not talking about the song, but what is a poker face? Right? They get all straight, stoic, and they win the hand because they have the better hand and they don't reveal any emotions. Then, of course, then there's those individuals whose eyes widen the moment they see the three aces and the two kings, and they've got the full house ready to go. Right? So everybody around the table sees the eyes widen and they all fold and they're out, and the guy who has, or the person who has the full house, well, they won their hand, but nobody bet against them. So that's your tells. Hidden area, the third quadrant, hidden area. This is the information that you know about yourself, but choose not to share with others. It could be personal thoughts, feelings, or insecurities. It's the imposter syndrome. That's where that sits in there, nice and neatly. We've talked about the imposter syndrome before in previous episodes. The unknown area, the fourth quadrant. This quadrant represents aspects of yourself and your personality that are unknown to both yourself and others. This area might be untapped potential, unconscious beliefs, or even repressed emotions. It's kind of like I would equate it to tap, you know, keep poking the bear. And what's going to happen when somebody pokes the bear? The bear doesn't even know what's going to happen. Right? Because everything's different. So these are those unknown areas. And they're the four quadrants. The Johari window model is often used in team building exercises and leadership development programs to facilitate open communication, build trust, and foster self-awareness. Self-awareness. Subject of today's episode. By exploring these four quadrants, individuals gain valuable insights into their own behaviors and how they are perceived by others, ultimately leading to stronger relationships and more effective work. Teamwork. Again, so the Johari window, really nice, really good. And again, this is coming straight from a search. And I'm going to have the links that have all of this information. They'll be on the show notes down below on the website. Let's see. The next tool is 360-degree feedback. 360-degree feedback. Asking for feedback from trusted friends or colleagues. Yes, you can do it, but you got to be specific. What's one blind spot I might not see? You know, what is it? Be specific. Ask those questions. And sure, but if they're trusted friends and they're trusted colleagues, you might want to ask the ones that have said no to you in the past. Can you do this? No, I can't. Can I borrow you for 15 minutes? No, you can't. Those are the ones that are not going to pull any punches with you. I highly recommend do not go around asking people that you have never had conflict. People that are wanting something from you. People that are suspicious. And you know who they are. No, I wouldn't go asking them because they're going to say what makes you feel good and not the truth. See, 360-degree feedback is a method of employee evaluation where individuals receive feedback from multiple sources, including supervisors, peers, direct reports, and sometimes even external stakeholders like customers or clients. Now, this approach aims to provide a comprehensive and balanced view of employee performance, skills, and behaviors. There's something wrong with that, folks. If in a 360-degree feedback, the direct reports are not being asked, it's not effective 360-degree feedback. The direct reports definitely contribute to that 360-degree feedback because, again, that individual could be sharing with their supervisor, oh, everything's good, everything's great, we're getting things done, all is good. But the direct reports see a total different individual, 180-degree difference. They see a micromanager. They see someone who is overly asking questions, who's really truly wanting to get the dirt, the tea. And that's not a good thing. It's not. So again, be suspicious of 360-degree feedback that does not include the direct reports. See, direct 360-degree feedback is a method of employee evaluation, right? We mentioned that. And the key aspects of 360-degree feedback is a multidimensional perspective, unlike traditional performance reviews that focus primarily on feedback from a supervisor. 360-degree feedback gathers input from different perspectives, offering a more holistic understanding of an employee's strength and areas for development. But again, caution, if they are omitting key individuals, key participants, key individuals that interact with that individual being reviewed, then it's not effective. It is a waste of time, waste of money. So comprehensive feedback. See, the feedback can cover various aspects, including skills, communication, collaboration, leadership, and overall impact of the organization. Now, it's also a development tool. 360-degree feedback is designed to be a learning and development tool, helping employees identify areas for improvement and guide their professional growth. Now, increased accountability by receiving feedback from diverse sources, employees are more accountable for their actions and behaviors, fostering a culture of open communication and continuous improvements. But the problem, well, not really the problem. The word here is continuous. Continuous improvement, continuous growth, constant growth. If it's only just for that period and the immediate time after the review period and they revert back to what they have always been, again, it's not effective. 360-degree feedback should also reduce bias. The inclusion of multiple perspectives helps to reduce potential biases that might be present in a single source review. Should help reduce. But again, it's up to the individual being reviewed. Improve performance by understanding how they are perceived by different stakeholders. Employees can gain better and can better align their behaviors and skills with the organization's goals and expectations, leading to improved performance. The word should be somewhere in there. Again, it's up to the individual. Sure, as I mentioned, sure, they can, oh, it's review time, let's put on a happy face, let's do this, and then immediately after, oh, it was a great review, I'll keep on, slap on that happy face, and I'll be nice and courteous, and I'll bring donuts in for everybody. And then once the heat has died down, it's back, same as normal, you know, back to the same old. So be careful with that 360-degree feedback. Now, to delve deeper in 360-degree feedback, you can explore a comprehensive guide from Qualtrics, which covers various aspects of this evaluation method. SurveyMonkey offers a template and best practices for conducting 360-degree feedback surveys. And for broader understanding of the concept, you can refer to Wikipedia article on 360-degree feedback. Wikipedia's gotten better, folks. Additionally, Indeed.com provides insights on how 360-degree feedback works, its benefits, and frequently asked questions. Finally, People Managing People offers detailed guide on implementing a 360-degree feedback, and it includes a free template for you. So go check them out. And again, those links will be on the show notes on the website. Alrighty. So, couple of things to do. Here's where your journal comes in. You can do daily reflections. So if you're not doing daily journaling, you know, take about a week or two to do the following. Ask yourself, what emotion did I feel most today? What triggered that emotion? And what did I learn about myself? And even just take 5 minutes a day of writing to help untangle your thoughts and sharpen your self-awareness. If you're not into pen and paper, there are great apps like Day One or Mood Notes, Mood, MOODNOTES, all one word, and they're going to help you reflect on your thoughts and start looking and seeing patterns to what's going on. It's out there. It can happen. All right. So here's your challenge. Again, here's where your journaling comes in. Here's your challenge. For the next 7 days, Saturdays and Sundays included, or 2 weeks if you want, ask yourself this one question each evening. Pick a time, you're at home, it's all calmed down. What emotion did I feel most strong today and what triggered it? Just one question. It's a two-parter, but it's still one question. One emotion, one insight at a time. Track it, reflect on it, and by the end of the week or 2 weeks, you will know you better than ever. Guaranteed. Just writing it down, it makes it real. Gets it out of your head, puts it down in writing, and you start going over time looking back. Alrighty, folks. Well, if this episode resonated with you, I would love it if you would share it with someone who is ready to lead themselves more consciously. And hey, if you've had an aha moment or uncovered a hidden strength this week, I want to hear about it. You know, DM me on Instagram, Dave_Guerra, or email me at dave@daveguerra.com. And until next time, lead yourself well, and the rest will follow. So thanks for tuning in to this episode with the Level Up Your Self-Leadership series. And next episode, we're going to continue with the next interview in the Dave Talks series.
I want to take this moment to thank you for listening to this episode of the Walking Leader Podcast and to invite you to visit my website, daveguerra.com. And there you will find all the past episodes of the Walking Leader Podcast, information on how to subscribe to the podcast and how to get yourself a copy of my books and how to join me on the Daily Journal Project, plus a whole lot more. So please consider this your personal invitation to stop by and look around. Again, that's daveguerra.com. Well, it looks like our time today has taken us to the end of this episode, and I do hope you found it educational, entertaining, and informational. Also, I do hope you will join us for the next episode. And please do not forget, you can always contact me with comments, questions, concerns by email at dave@daveguerra.com, on Twitter at Dave Guerra, all one word, or on Instagram, that's Dave_Guerra, Dave_Guerra on Instagram. I look forward to hearing from you. Drop me a note and listen. Hey, until next time, be confident, stay patient, take action, remain resilient, break from the crowd, and most of all, be a leader without equal. Be the walking leader.
The Walking Leader Podcast is a David Guerra presentation.